Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. Lee, this is going to be a marvelous segment. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast CEO with Home Care Assist, Mr. Brian Van Hook. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having us on the show today.
Well, Brian, can you talk a little bit about Home Care Assist? What are you doing for folks?
Yeah, Home Care Assist, it's an online marketplace, basically, where we've got two different populations that we're trying to service. We've got those needing care and those that are trying to provide care. And what our website does is we match those up based on compatibility, skill, geography, pay rate, a variety of things. And then what we try to deliver is the most compatible match to the in-home care process.
So now you're different than some of these home health care organizations in that you're just being the matchmaker, and then the relationships between the caregiver and the person in need of care?
Yes, sir, that's correct. So you've got the brick and mortar type agencies that obviously come at a higher cost, and you're going to get a little more of the oversight from the agency. What our site does is eliminate some of that cost and that overhead, and we match you up directly with those that provide the care. But we also provide a platform for you to communicate and negotiate through our site, where you can negotiate the schedule, the pay, and that type of thing.
And then your site becomes kind of the portal for my relationship with the caregiver?
It does in the beginning, and our long-term goal is that it will add more features to that portal that will allow you to have a one-stop shop on our site where you can manage the whole process from start to end.
So now when you go into a market, like you just launched here in Atlanta, what do you do first? You first kind of gather up some caregivers? How do you kind of launch your efforts?
You're exactly right. It's always kind of that chicken and egg type thing when you're developing a marketplace. And so the formula that we try to use is to build up the caregiver base first. So we'll give ourselves a few weeks to go in and start marketing to the caregivers. And once we hit a critical mass on the caregiver population, then we open up the marketing to those needing the care. And that just is really to make sure that the care seeker, as we call them, is having a great online experience by knowing that there's going to be caregivers that they'll match up with.
And then what, from a caregiver standpoint, are they open to this? Because are they now, since they're working directly with the person, do they feel more comfortable in that regard as opposed to going through an agency?
I think from the caregiver perspective, my experience over the last eight years has really been that they want to work, they want to provide that care. And the good thing about doing it in this atmosphere, it's called private duty care when you're not going through an agency. When a caregiver does it private duty, they're going to get a little bit higher hourly pay rates than they would through an agency.
Right, and that's
their take-home pay.
And that's something maybe the person getting care doesn't really understand, because they're paying a fee to the agency, and the agency is in turn obviously paying the caregiver, and there's a margin in there, and you're kind of making it more efficient system.
Yeah, it does benefit the care seeker from a cost perspective as well, because what you're going to pay for an agency is typically going to be anywhere from 20 to 50% more than what they can pay a caregiver directly.
Right.
So it's kind of a win-win. The care seeker pays less than an agency, and the caregiver earns more not going to an agency.
So now, what's your pitch to the caregiver? What are
Few things is that we show statistically that they can make more money on an hourly basis. And of course, every market's going to be different. An example in the Triangle market in North Carolina, in Atlanta is pretty similar number-wise, is to pay anywhere from $10 to $11 hourly if they go through an agency.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they go private duty, they can expect to make $14 to $18 an hour. So quite an increase for the caregiver.
Wow.
The other thing that we allow them to do on our site is they've got a little more control over their schedule, because they can accept which care seekers they want to be hired by. Whereas in an agency, you know, the caregiver is pretty much at the discretion of the agency director, saying you need to go here, you need to go there. So they have a little less flexibility in their scheduling.
Now, are you offering this service to businesses as well as a way, as a benefit to their employees?
At this point, we are not. That's one of the options we are exploring, though. And we've had some pretty serious discussions in the past few weeks about wanting to hit some of the larger corporations and even the smaller ones, just to offer this, maybe give them a discount on the site, something like that, because in-home care is only growing over the next 20 or 30 years. So it's not an issue that's going to be going away.
Well, I can speak from experience. My father is in assisted living now, but he has in-home care there, even there. And then my wife's mother has used periodically in-home care. She's 89. My father is like 92. So are you finding that it just, well, you know the statistics better than I do, but what's the aging population looking like? It's growing like crazy, right?
Yeah. They're projecting right now by 2050, we're going to grow from a population older than 65. In 2010, there was 531 million. That's going to jump to about 1.5 billion by 2050. So that's a huge increase.
And then right now, there's not that many choices, right? You can do that. You want to be in home. There's a lot of financial reasons. It's much cheaper to have in-home care than going to one of these assisted living facilities, isn't it?
It is. Depending on the level of care you need, it absolutely can be a lot more cost effective to stay home. The other thing that I've witnessed personally in my experience over the last 8 years, the quality of life for the aging population is much higher when they're living in their own home.
Right. And they, you know, they're familiar with their house. They know where everything is. They have their routine. And this caregiver can really help them stay there for, you know, even if they stay there for a year longer, that could save tens of thousands of dollars in what you would pay in assisted living.
Yeah, very easily. Yeah. Huge cost savings. And, you know, the caregiver over time, which one thing we really strive on is trying to hit that personality compatibility.
Right.
The caregiver really becomes like part of that family, and they start to learn the routines, and they know the ins and outs of not just the person they're providing care for, but the family members that are involved in that care as well.
So now, do you have any advice for that person who, like right now, I would imagine you're selling to the family of the elderly person more so than the elderly person, because the elderly person, at least in my experience, is the last one that's going to be proactive in this world. Is that your experience?
I would say the large percentage of who makes the decisions and helps facilitate the need for in-home care does come from family members. There is a pretty good population, though, of the 65-plus care seekers that are pretty tech-savvy. They've got the smartphones, and as long as they know they need care and they don't wait too long, then, you know, that's a smaller percentage than the family members, but they do exist.
But if you were, like in my case, my family's in Florida, I'm in Atlanta, what's advice for that person that isn't in the city of where their family member is to navigate this?
Involvement's really the biggest key. And, you know, what you just touched on is unfortunately really pretty dominant right now in the home care population, where you have a distant family member trying to manage the care. And that's one good thing about our website is we give you that flexibility that you can be in California and you can go in and create the profile. You can go through the whole process. You can interview over the telephone. So you can do it all remotely. A lot easier than going out and trying to interview the agencies locally.
Now, what are some of the
involvement's the biggest thing.
And this gives you that kind of common place to go and interact in a safe manner. Your portal, right?
Correct. And over the next year or so, as we make enhancements to our site with some of the vision that we have for the site, that remote involvement is going to become much easier through our website.
Now, what are some of the mistakes that you see some family members make when it comes to this? Do they wait too long?
Yeah. Unfortunately, sometimes it's a timing issue, and a lot of times it's a cost issue. So, you know, family members or even the care recipient themselves are a little hung up on the cost to provide that home care. And then sometimes there's the resistance to admitting that they may need home care. So they end up waiting too long, and their quality of life really deteriorates quickly.
Right. That's what we've noticed in our own situation. Do you, when you're coming into a market like Atlanta and you got your kind of your, you built your critical mass of caregivers, how do you get the word out to let people know that this is even a choice?
Right now, we're doing most of our marketing and advertising online. And one of the things that we'd like to do as we go into each new market is find strategic partnerships that we can work with that are like-minded corporations or companies trying to enhance the quality of life for the aging population.
So now, how do you kind of play with the local kind of elderly services associations that serve that, you know, kind of support that market?
What we try to do is we want to see people or organizations that line up with what we're trying to accomplish, and that is to allow people to stay in their homes longer, have a higher quality of care. And if we can get behind anything that they're doing locally to help support their cause, then we're obviously going to be very open to doing that.
So that's part of your culture, your corporate culture, and the way that you go to a new market or any market?
Absolutely.
Do you put actually boots on the ground here in Atlanta where there'll be somebody running this, or is your whole business done out of one corporate headquarters?
Right now, everything is done here in our main office. You know, we've had several discussions in the past couple months about getting some actual boots on the ground, and we're trying to figure out from a scalability perspective how we can do that and keep our costs manageable.
Right. That must be, I guess that's a challenge in this, because you want to immerse yourself in the community, but you don't want to necessarily have the costs of, you know, putting somebody here to do that. You have to balance that.
That's right. And you know, if we were only in two markets, that would be a lot more manageable. But, you know, with our growth plans that we have over the next 6 to 12 months, it just might not scale as well as we would hope.
Right. So now, how did you get into this business in this market?
My journey was pretty similar to what it sounds like you've been going through yourself. I had a family member that was needing some care. We didn't want the family member to move from the home. This was probably about 10 years ago, and I looked around at my options, which at the time were even less than there are now, and I wasn't real pleased with what I had as options, and I knew that my sister and I could not provide that care because we have our lives we're trying to manage and children we're trying to raise. So we looked at some home care agencies, didn't like what I saw, so went home and told my wife we needed to start our own agency. So about 9 years ago, we started our own agency here in the Triangle. And very quickly into that experience, I realized that an agency is a great fit for a lot of care recipients, but it's not a solution for everybody.
Right.
So a lot of people I was talking to early on, the agency just wasn't the right fit. And I really didn't have anywhere to refer them for a solution to give them what they needed. So the idea for Home Care Assist really was born about 9 years ago, trying to fill that gap in care that the agency, the assisted living facility, just wasn't meeting.
Now, I would think there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, I'm kind of focused on elderly care, but I would think there's opportunity for other types of care, like say somebody broke their leg or a younger person, you know, has some sort of a medical condition for a week or something, that this type of service would fit perfectly for something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, just due to the size of the aging population, it's a natural fit there. But this could be for children with disabilities. It could be with short-term injuries or rehab. The level of care through our website gives you that flexibility, so you're not locked into any contracts like you would be maybe with an agency. So you could have someone come out for 3 days or 3 years, and it's really flexible and gives you that control.
Right. I would think that's a good opportunity there. And also, even if you have maybe, like you said, a child with disabilities, this could give you a break as the caregiver, kind of a mental health break to, you know, for yourself to go and, you know, okay, on Tuesdays I have the person come in. And but this Tuesday, I don't want them to come in. Like, it gives you that much more flexibility but it still lets you get quality care.
Yeah, absolutely. Respite care is often overlooked with family caregivers. And it's an unfortunate thing because you get so bogged down providing that care for your family member. Your own health can start to deteriorate. There's lost wages that have been proven in some recent studies that people that are providing that care, they need a break. And going to homecareassist.com gives them that opportunity for one day a week, 2 hours a week, whatever it may be, just to get that break.
And this might even be if somebody has a new kid, you could give this as a gift, right? Give them some care as a.
I think they would fall in love with you if you gave that as a gift,
right? Why not? That's a whole.
Especially if they have multiple new kids.
Exactly. So, you guys work. Your caregiver can help in any kind of situation. It's non-medical healthcare, but what are some of the tasks that they're allowed to do?
Well, the more common tasks are mostly you've got two different levels that fall into that non-medical aspect. And you've got the companion level care, and that could be anything from cooking meals, doing laundry, changing bed sheets. They could drive their care recipient to a doctor's appointment, to the grocery store, or they can just sit there and watch TV with them. So there's a wide variety of tasks they can do there. For those needing a little more hands-on care, you're going to be looking at anything from the dressing, the bathing, personal hygiene. They can also help with ambulation if you're transferring from a wheelchair to the bed. And they can also be there just to provide that safety and security. If somebody walks, like my mother is not very stable on her feet, so knowing that I've got someone there when she's walking gives me that comfort that she's not going to fall.
And then, but there is a distinction that are they allowed to help like with their medicine and things like that, or to help them remember to take their medicine?
Yeah, absolutely. They can do medication reminders. And one of the key differences with our website from an actual agency is there's no state governance on what can and cannot be done. So when a care recipient hires someone privately, they can really ask them to do pretty much anything that they agree to do. So it doesn't have to be limited the same way that an agency would be limited.
Okay, because we've done some work in this area for clients in the past, and we have had situations where I wasn't aware of it, but like if the person fell down or needed some real medical care at that moment, there were certain limitations of what they could and couldn't do.
Yeah, that's right. And that sounds like it may have been through an agency, because each state has different rules on what an agency can do. But in North Carolina, for example, our agency, the employees at our agency are not allowed to pick someone up if they fall. Which, you know, I may or may not recommend that anyway, just because there could be risk for injury and things like that. But
right.
Actually, administering medication is not allowed. But when you hire someone privately, I won't say all the rules go out the window, but it's a much more one-on-one relationship. So if you had a care recipient that needed someone to administer that medicine and they hire them through our website, that absolutely could happen.
Right. And that's something that this was through an agency, this example about the person falling down. And I was really surprised. And I would imagine that a lot of people think they're getting something and they don't realize there's a lot of, when you go through an agency, there's a lot of rules that they have to follow because it is an agency.
That's exactly right. We actually, at my agency, we have a list of prohibited activities that I have to give every client just because of what you said. They go into it assuming that they can administer medicine or pick them up if they fall, but we have to make it very clear here are where the limits are.
Right.
At Home Care Assist, you don't really have anyone overseeing that, so there really are no limits. It's up to the two individuals to negotiate what will and will not be done.
So now, how can we help you, Brian, here in the Atlanta market? How can we help you get the word out? Do you need more caregivers, or you need more people looking for care? What can we do to serve you?
I think the best thing we can do is right now we're trying to get the word out more to those needing the care. We've got a pretty good formula in place to attract caregivers. We can always use more caregivers on the site, obviously. But right now we're really just trying to explain to those needing the care what to expect from the website, what to expect in their journey of home care in general, because a lot of people at the early stages don't even know what they don't know. So
right.
They're kind of lost and they're trying to figure out, do I need home care? Do I need to go to a facility? So we're trying to help with that education. The other thing about our site is because of the new concept that we're introducing, education is really a big part of it as well. We're kind of flipping the whole model upside down where we don't allow people to post jobs or anything like that. The caregivers don't have to apply for a job on our website. It's as simple as creating a 15-minute profile and you instantaneously get matched up with your top three caregivers. We do a percentage match. So it shows, you know, hey, you've got caregiver A is a 98% match based on your profile. And within 10 minutes, you can look at that profile, make that connection, and start communicating with that caregiver. So it's a very quick process. It is a new concept in the way we're doing it. And the whole compatibility aspect of it, there's not another site out there doing it to the level we are.
But it's
But
it's important to educate the, you know, the people that refer, that have these elderly people as clients and patients, that this is an option out there. It isn't just, oh, you have to go to assisted living or, oh, you have to hire an agency. Here's home care assist is another option, another kind of way to serve their clients. So to get it out to those people would be important, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're trying to reach all the business professionals that may have clients with this type of need. And again, like you mentioned earlier, it doesn't even have to be the elderly population, which I think sometimes is an oversight in that, you know, if you're a single person living at home alone and you have surgery on your arm, you're going to need some help over the next few weeks because you might not be able to do all the same things.
Right.
So we're just trying to get the word out there to as many people as we can that can refer their clients or their family members to the website. And the another large population is the family caregivers that may not realize there's a respite resource out there for them.
Brian, where can our listeners go to learn more? Is it best to send them to a website? What are the best coordinates?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is www.homecareassist.com.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Keep us posted, and we look forward to following your progress, but certainly here in the Atlanta market as well. This has been a lot of fun, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Next time I'm down there, I'm going to stop in and see you.
Looking forward to it. All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Brian Van Hoot with Home Care Assist, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.